can't get to all the questions, and so it's just best to go ahead and let your question be made come through now so we can go to the Bible and give it necessary attention that you would want us to. And so we now's your opportunity to join us. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. And, of course, all of these numbers are area code 843. And so being that I mentioned that, we want you to be aware of our website as well, which is at BibleAlone.com or .org. Right now, the .org is the dominant site, and so we want you to be mindful that you can go and join us through live stream at either one of those websites, BibleAlone.com or BibleAlone.org, and are happy to be able to have you listen through or via the Internet. And so through your computer, you can do this. There may be some of you that have a smartphone or someone you know someone that could tune in. We do want you to be aware of there's an application that smartphones can download called TuneIn Radio and find WJNI, and they can join us right now as well. And so go ahead and tell your friends and relatives in other parts of the world about the program, that it is on the air right now, and they can join us either the Internet or through TuneIn Radio and be able to let the Bible speak to the questions that are on their hearts. They, too, can join us and let them know that it is area code 843. So now's your chance. If you're local, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, which is our voice line, or the text line is 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. We want to say thank you to everyone that came out to the Hollywood meeting Friday night and Saturday night. We had a very good turnout, more than we actually expected, and we're so thrilled that you want to know the truth or want to know what God says enough to where that you would give up your Friday night or Saturday night, and in a couple of cases both nights, to be able to join us as we actually let the Bible speak as far as what God expects of us. And then also we answered your questions. And so we are thankful that you saw fit to come out and join us. We want you to know coming up, everybody in the area, we're going to have a booth on Main Street in Somerville this coming weekend during the Flower Town Festival. So we would encourage you to join us and come by and meet us if you see us. You will see the banners out front, which will say dial a Bible study, or another banner says let the Bible speak. And we are just honored to be able to meet you face-to-face there. You may have a question you want to bring by then. Well, that would certainly be okay as well. But we do want to meet you. Well, if you're noticing the address of the booths, it will be at Main Street, booth number 67 is where we will be. And so we would encourage you to come by this weekend. All day Friday and all day Saturday, we will be there, and we would like to meet you. So stop by and say hi if you get that opportunity. That's this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Flower Town Festival. Now, it is your opportunity to go ahead and call in your question. The voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. So don't miss out. Right now's your chance. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Or feel free to text us again. That number to text is 725-9283. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now, if you're reading from a different translation, you may have, instead of the word lawlessness, you may have the word iniquity. And that's the idea of doing what you do without authority. And so it's important for us to have authority for everything that we do. And as it pertains to the church, as it pertains to anything that's related to a religion, anything that we would do to try to reconnect with God. We need authority from God. We need God to tell us how to do it. And so what we find within the pages of the scriptures is such directions from God. We have those directives on how to live and how to give, how to walk and how to talk. And we must trust it. We must go there for the answer. And so, again, we encourage you at this time period to go ahead and call in your questions, and we will do our best to simply let the Bible speak. Again, that number is 308-9564. 308-9564, or you can text us. We do have a text line. Feel free to text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283. If we were to try to get away from using God's word as a standard, and let's say, for instance, we decided that we're going to preach something different, then God will hold us accountable, and not just us, but anyone who would fall into that category of teaching something other than what God says. When Jesus came on the scene, he would spend 3.5 years with his apostles, and he would be teaching them. The Bible shows that towards the after his resurrection, just prior to him ascending into heaven, he would give them instructions to go out and to preach the gospel. And no one is at liberty to change that gospel. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, Galatians 1 and verse 8, says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, verse 9 says, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have, then what you have received, says, let him be accursed. And so no one has a right to teach anything other than what we find within the pages of the scripture. That's what we teach. We teach God's truth. Now, let me encourage you again to take advantage of the opportunity to call in your question and hear from God by way of his word. Again, the lines are open, or at least one is open, and so the calls are coming in. So if you get a busy single, or if your phone is just ringing, if it's just ringing, just continue to hold, and we will get to you as soon as we can. If you get a busy signal, then just try the number again. I think we have about 2 or 3 lines that's available to you, so you should just hear ringing, and we would encourage you just to hang in there until we can get to your question. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-9564.
There was a question left over from last week that we did not get to this week, and we told that we would start off the program with that this week. It had to do with, is it right to change with surgery, to change one's gender from a male to female and vice versa? Is that something that God would say is okay? Well, it has to do with as far as what we choose to do with our bodies, certainly. But the bottom line is that God created male and female, and thus if we start changing or dickering, manipulating that, well, then certainly we're not going with our nature that we were born with. And matter of fact, most of us will actually, if we start listening to our nature, then we will end up having challenges as well, because it is within our nature to go after certain sins and certain lusts. And because of that, we need to make certain that we are listening to what God says on any given subject. As far as sexuality or the practice of sexuality in our lives, God, and I think last week it was read several times about this, makes it very clear what we should be and what we should not be. He tells us that if we listen to these members of our body, and practice any of these things, well, let's just listen to it. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you have been washed, but you have been sanctified, but you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So when you look at this list here, revilers, let's just pick on that one for a moment. That is somebody that loves just giving people a piece of their mind. They love just being able to do that. Well, some people have a nature to be able to articulate and to be able to rail against someone quicker than other people. I know some people that are slow talkers, and it's hard for them. I'm one of them, believe it or not. It's hard for them to put a thought together real quick and be able to respond, especially in the heat of the moment. Well, some people excel at that. So if someone were to say, oh, well, I'm very good at responding and just letting people have it and giving them a piece of my mind, well, that doesn't make it right. Even though they have a God-given nature and ability to think so quick and to articulate so quick, that does not make it right. Just because we may have something to say does not mean that we should say it. Okay, I think just about everybody may agree with that. Well, it would be true of all of those things in that list. Just because we may have the potential to practice some of these things, may even be inclined to practice some of these things. It says, if we do that, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. And right after saying that, in verse 6, if you'll notice, he says, do not be deceived. Some people out there would deceive us, making us think because it is natural, it is okay. My friend, we better quit listening to what people say, and that includes our own nature, ourselves. Let's listen to what God says. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. Anything that goes against God is going to keep us from inheriting the kingdom of heaven. So please do not listen to them. Do not listen to your flesh. Listen to God, and he will welcome us home one day and say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's time for us to take our first break. We want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and we are glad to be able to be with you. We hope and pray that the things that we have to share with you today will be a blessing. Make certain that you have pencil and paper at hand. Now, during the break, we're going to tell you about a correspondence course that is free. We will never ask for money. Here's the details on that. But if you've already got the course, now's the time to call in your question. The lines are available. A minute ago, they all filled up, so don't miss out. They're available now. You can get through and get us your question, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back.
Now that love, now once again, the time to be with us this afternoon. I hope and pray that this will be a blessing to you. Please enroll in that course. You very well may study things and find things in God's Word that you have never seen before. So, it is important to find out those things before you meet God face to face. I think it is as well. So why don't you enroll in a course? Unit numbers 553-5157. And the operator will get that in the mail to you, even when it gets out of the postal office is closed, but the next day. And it will be gotten right out to you. We're glad to share that with you. And as we just said, it is fine. So, go ahead and enroll in that, and then pick up the phone and call us your question, and we will go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. That number 308-9. 9564 is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, I'll call for you with questions says, where is the passage that talks about faith reveal coming through me with reference to Jesus? What comes to mind is John 14th chapter and verse 6, John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. So there you find that phrase, through me, and Jesus showing that he is the only way to have access to the Father. And there is another passage in the book of John. Go back about four chapters, John chapter 10, and verse 7, the Bible says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus refers himself as a door. Again, that suggests a passage by which to go in and out. In verse 10, he says, verse 9, he says, I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus says he is in fact the doorway. He is the way that a person has to go through in order to gain access to the Father, in order to gain access to salvation. Very good question. I hope that's been helpful to you. Go ahead and call right now with your questions, 308-9564. Ask the number to call. The lines are open at this point, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a caller calling in this question and wanted to know the difference between the kingdom and the church. They reference Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then also reference to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 18, where Jesus tells Peter upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not descend against it. And so Matthew chapter 16, verses 16, 17, 18, and now, right in that same context, he goes on to say, the kingdom. So he refers to it as the, the church in verse 18, and then in verse 19, he says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So there we see church and kingdom used interchangeably. And so the word church is referred to as the called out, those that have been called out of sin, called out of way, called out of following themselves. Many other things we could reference, and the reference to it as the kingdom shows that we are to be subject to the king, and Jesus is the king. His kingdom, his kingship is not over this world, John's 18 and verse 36, not over this world. He says, forth my kingdom of this world, my servants would fight that I not be delivered to the Jews. And thus my kingdom is not from hence or from this. And so it is a spiritual kingdom. He is the king. He's on his throne. Acts chapter 2. And so what we must do is listen to him as being subjects of his kingdom. And that we should understand that we have been called out of this world, out of sin, and thus we're part of his church, his body of believers. There's several other figures of speech that describes his people, but yes, you've picked out a couple of them now, and we're so thankful that you called in your question. Hopefully that has been helpful to you, and we certainly appreciate you having the courage to call in your question and taking out your time to be able to get to know what God says, because you want to let the Bible speak. Thank you so much, and we hope you'll continue to listen week after week. The numbers again, if you have a question, call 308-9564. The voice line is available now. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have a text question that comes in. Last 3 digits of the number is 597. Says, is John 10:10 talking about Satan or false saints or false shepherds? I'm sorry. So we look at John 10, verse 10. And I just read the first couple of verses, and so yeah, I read verses 7 through 10, just to establish the context. Then Jesus Jesus said to them again, verse 7, "Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." So Jesus talks about those that came before him, and he refers to them as thieves and robbers. So that could be those who were the false teachers, could be those who were false prophets. But that would be the idea. He goes on in verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10 is the verse we had questioned about. He uses the word the thief. And so we've already established that this thief would be like a false prophet or a false teacher. Certainly someone that's following the workings of the devil. It says in verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." And so, clearly, I think the ideas of the talking about a false teacher, a false preacher, a false prophet, that anyone that is a false teacher, preacher, prophet is following the works of Satan, and they would be of the devil. And so I think your question, whether you're asking whether he's talking about Satan or a false shepherd, I think both would be applicable in this particular case. Because anyone is teaching something false, then they're of the work of the devil. I hope that's been helpful to you. The jars at 1-2-3-0-8-9-5-6-4. 3-0-8-9-5-6-4. We have been calling in this question in Isaiah, references Isaiah chapter 26. And verse 3. And so, Ben, let me go ahead and look at the context of this because it fits into your question. His question is, how do you deal with people who are contrary and disruptive to peace? And he references this passage. So let's read in Isaiah chapter 26, beginning with verse 6. "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and for bulwarks. open the gates, that the righteous nation will keep the truth and may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For I know the Lord is everlasting strength. And so this is a song here in the 8th chapter, seems to be that song as it continues even into the next chapter. And so this was a song that they were singing in that day in the land of Judah. And you wanted to know how to deal with people that are contrary to that. Well, first of all, let's see the motive behind it. Because Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 34, he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And now it seems to be totally contrary, doesn't it? And Jesus is also referenced as the Prince of Peace. And in another place, he is the bringer of peace. So it depends on our perspective. Are we seeking peace with God? Are we seeking peace with man? Because many times and in many situations, they cannot exist in the same place. If the man that you're trying to be around love darkness, and all of a sudden you shine light, they're gonna scream and holler and say, "Get out of here." Or if the people around you love light, love the light of righteousness, righteousness, and you walk in their righteousness, going to be a peaceful existence. But let's not be deceived because of our service to God. There is going to be persecution. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 make that very clear. And so, if those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, that is not a peaceful situation. And when you look at how the apostles were received and how Paul was received from city to city, it was not a peaceful situation. At times, whole cities were in an uproar because of his teaching the gospel. So yes, the gospel sometimes will create things that are less than peaceful, so to speak, God or not. Now, if everything is right with God in heaven, no matter what is happening in this world, that is the peace we want. Thank you, Ben. We sure do appreciate that. A lot of people do that because people do not like light. They will flee from the light of God's word, and thus they will try to be disruptive. Thank you so much. Again, it's time for us to take our next break. Go ahead and call in your question while we are at break. The number 308-9564 is the number, and we will let the Bible speak. We're so glad that you're taking out time this afternoon to be able to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers. You know, many of you today probably participated in a special service that the world, religious world, seems to give a great deal of attention to one time a year called Easter. But, my brother, would you be surprised to know that God's people in the Bible celebrated the meaning of what was talked about today every 7 days on the first day of the week? Yes, today is the first day of the week, but it is not to be just a one-time event that God is singled out this way, that special appreciation is given to him. He expects us to commune with him, remember his death by resurrection every week. Does that surprise you? Well, why don't you call up and ask a question? The number is 308-9564. Or you can text us about that at 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak to that question as well. And that it is something that is in many of our minds. 725-9283 is the text line. 308-9564 is the voice line. And we will let the Bible speak. Nick, do you have a question? Yes, we had a caller texting in last 3 digits of the number 081 says, please explain Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. So we turn to Hebrews. The sixth chapter, verses 4 through 6, the Bible reads, "Therefore, it is impossible for those who are yet enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God, powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify for themselves the Son of God, and put him to an open shame." So we read that text, and some that are challenged by this text, because it does sound like it's speaking of a person who, in fact, really believed, who was really converted, and then it says they fall away. And so, on the one hand, if I've been taught that this person is saved, that they're always saved, then I'm going to struggle with this passage. But if I understand that that's not what the Bible teaches, the Bible didn't teach what saved always saved. But the Bible does teach that a person can fall away. Yes, even a converted person. And that's what comes out in this text. Again, looking at Hebrews the 6th chapter and verse 4, I want you to pay close attention to the language that's used here. It lets us know that this person was in fact converted. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. So here's a person that was enlightened. They received, they understood the word, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. So here's a person that has become a partaker of the Holy Spirit. And have tasted the good word God and the powers of the age to come. So here's a person that had tasted the Holy Spirit. Here's a person that had been enlightened. And this person had heard the truth and the truth says to what God and had been converted. This is not someone that's just playing around. The Bible goes on to say for that person, verse 6, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance is going to be impossible. Why? Since they crucified you for themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. And once a person gets the truth, and they come to understand the truth completely, and they turn away from it, the Bible says that person is in a worse condition than if they had never heard it. And that passage is the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, where Peter says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them. According to a true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, that is to say a pig, having been washed to her wallowing in the mire. And just for those of you who may not be familiar with the farm life, you know, mire is not just mud. So here's this pig that's wallowing in the mire. All kinds of stuff. And that's the description that's given to a person who has learned the truth and then turned away from it. And here's a few other passages, like Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, talks about a person falling from grace. A person can fall, a person can believe and do all that God requires and be saved, legitimately saved, and turn away from those things. That's what Hebrews chapter 6 highlights. That's what 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 21 and 22 highlights, and then even Hebrews chapter 10 kind of blanks out a person who has seemingly obeyed the gospel, but now they get back into sin willfully. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, the Bible says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversary. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy in the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses of how much worse punishment these thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified as a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. The idea here is, the Lord is going to pay. He's going to take vengeance on a person who has been taught the truth, they know the truth, and they turn away from it. And so as we hear these things, as we read the Bible, and we see what God says, and we come to know these things, we have to do those things with the intent of not turning back. I hope that's been helpful. Join us now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. I want you to be aware that the Bible Correspondence course that we offer every 15 minutes is absolutely free, and you very well may discover things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. Many times, if in churches across the land, they are restricted by their denominational covenants and their restriction of their doctrines that they follow. And thus, you may never hear some vital subjects, even subjects that could keep you from going to heaven. And so, we would encourage you to explore this correspondence course. It is free. We will never ask for any kind of donation in any way. Please go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157 and wait on this course, and we will get it in the mail to you, and it will be in this week's mail, so you'll probably receive it this week, so don't miss out on this. Again, that number is 553-5157. We have Keith calling in this question. Keith, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for your desire to know what God's Word said. And that's exactly why we will go. We will go to the Bible. Every question that comes in, because it doesn't matter what man says, but it does matter what God says. Interesting enough, Keith's question is dealing with giants in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1 is where they are mentioned the very first time. It says, "Now it came to pass when the men began to multiply lie on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120. And there were giants on the earth in those days. And afterwards, when the sons of men came in to the daughters of men, and they bore them, and those the mighty men who were of aid, men of renown. And then the next verse goes on to describe the wickedness of man and God's intent to destroy man with the flood. So, Keith's question is, please explain this. Well, Keith, I wish I could, because this was so even before the flood, and we just have to take this as what it says. Just like what we read there. And so those giants there were, in the land they were born to, the children of men. And the only other time that we see this phrase, sons of God, like what we just read there, was in Job chapter 1, as angels would present themselves before God. So some would conclude that these were angels, and I'm not going to agree nor disagree with that, but the word Nephilim, as you mentioned there, is also mentioned in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33. When they looked at the land, it says there were giants, the sons of Anak. So there seemed to be a whole tribe, a people that were giant people, of which some have thought that Goliath was one of them. And you might wonder just how tall that was. Well, Goliath was about 9.5 feet tall. And so when you look and you see, okay, now, yep, that would be considered giants, all right. And is also archaeological evidence of giants being in the land as well. So there's no doubt that they did exist, and there are people today that would be considered giants as well. And does that make them sons of angels? No, but all we can do is just teach what the Bible says, and there's what we read in Genesis chapter 6. Could it have started from there? We don't know. Coulda, woulda, we're just not going to go there. We just read it. And I'm just going to just wait and ask personally one day when I get up there and ask God about that. So, Keith, thank you for the question. We should just know that some things we will not get the answer to until we leave this life behind. Thank you for your question. We should appreciate that. Hope that's not disappointing to you. But it's a good question, and thank you so much for your question. Again, the number here, the voice line is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, we will get your question answered today and let the Bible speak. I'm telling you right now, all the voice lines are available. 308-9564. We have a text question coming in, last 3 digits, 597. Says, when we pray, should we pray to the Father, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, or only to the Father, but in Jesus' name? A good question for us. What you have is Jesus actually speaking on the subject of praying in Luke the 11th chapter. Luke chapter 11, the first couple of verses there, Jesus says, what the Bible says that what it came to pass, that as he, talking about Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples, in verse 2, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father, now in heaven, your hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And he would go and he would give them this sample prayer for them to learn when you pray, this way. And the idea is for them to pray to the Father, their that's what Jesus did. And so when we pray to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus goes on to say that anything you ask in my name, it shall be done. And so then that's why your Father should pray in Jesus' name. Because Jesus would use his name as authority. There's another verse that you might also want to consider as well as it wrong to address Jesus. And we can see an example of that when Stephen was being stoned to death. And right before he breathed his last breath, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's in Acts chapter 7, verse 59. So there, you see him talking to Jesus. So it's not wrong to talk to Jesus, but we are certainly instructed by the Lord himself to address our Father in prayer. And the Holy Spirit is also involved in our prayers as well. We see that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. In this we can see the Holy Spirit is involved with groanings or utterances that cannot be uttered when we pray as well as verse 26, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so those are again, they're all involved, but we are in fact instructed to address our Father in prayer, and it's only through Jesus that we can approach him. So, thank you so much for your question. Time for us to take our next break. We want you to know that this information work available 308-9564 is the voice line. The text line is available all the time, which is 725-9283. Go ahead and call in or text in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we want you to know that we are so honored to be able to have your ear in the you have a desire to listen to what God gets from his word. We hope and pray that the things that we are covering and bringing up today have been and will be a help to you in your Because if we're not walking with God, well then guess who we're walking with? So, it's fun to have a walk with God and follow His word. And we will let the Bible speak. Go ahead and call in your question right now. You may disagree with us. We've got a question, a follow-up question that may be in fact that way. We're going to be touching on that right now. But please don't go this hour without having your question answered and finding out what God has to say about that question. So call 308-895-64, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to your question. Okay? And so, when we come back to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, we'll call upon this, and we shall appreciate you listening. And again, we can't say much enough how much we appreciate you taking time to call your questions and to listen and follow the scriptures. There is nothing more important in this life than hearing from the Word of God, hearing what God has to say. And you and I preparing ourselves to as we understand it, to make changes and to do better. So again, we do appreciate your attention this hour. So back in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 6 through 4 through 6, we have a follow-up comment that says verses 1 through 3. The context of verses 1 through 3 of that chapter proves you can't lose salvation. And so one of the ideas about whether or not Hebrews chapter 6 is talking about losing salvation or not. And if we go back and we read the first three verses, here's what it says. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity. That perfection comes from the Greek word means complete maturity. So you leave the elementary principles, right? A little child goes to elementary school. And so you want to go on to perfection or maturity is the idea. Not laying in the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Why would he say that? So, I'm only picking up right in the middle of the context. So to understand what he's talking about, we actually have to go back to chapter 5. And what you'll note is that these folks were supposed to have grown in their faith, and they had not. He says in verse 12 of chapter 5, that they by this time you ought to be teachers. You need weeks, I want to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The solid food belongs to those who are at full age. Again, maturity is the idea. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now verse 1 fits in. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles, he's encouraging these Christians, these Hebrew or Jewish Christians, to go away from the elementary principles of Christ. They should be able to get away from that. They should be able to grow into maturity. And not lay again the foundation of repentance and good works and faith towards God. These things are basic principles, is the idea. And not laying again the foundation of baptism, doctrines of baptisms, he says. And his period, he says, doctrine of baptism. So there were multiple teachings on baptism. He says, or laying on of hands, and resurrection of dead, and the return judgment. And he says, this we will do if God permits. Yes, we will all go on to maturity if God will allow it. But is something that I have to initiate in me. That's what he's telling them to do. He says, go on. He's telling them that this is something that they have to do. Well, what if they don't? Well, then he goes on to say, in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who are less enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and of the power of call, of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again.
Repentance. He says that they could, in fact, fall away. And you'll find that same similar language in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, where he tells these folks that they had fallen from grace. And then we looked at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. It talks about some folks that had turned back, the idea that like a dog going back to his vomit, or a sow, or a pig that was washed or wallowing in the mire. We can turn back. God is not going to stop us from turning back into sin. He just won't. Hope that's been helpful to you. Join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564.
We will go to the Bible for all the answers that you ask, and we sure do appreciate your interest in wanting to know what God says. The lines are now available, 308-9564, 308-9564. You can go live or have your question written down and brought in to us like all of these have been today. The choice is yours. We have Keith calling back and wants to know another question. It says, not to eat the tree, as in Genesis chapter 2, and the day you eat it, you will surely die. He wants to know, is that a tree, or could that be a person? He had heard on the internet that was likened unto a person, that you're not supposed to eat of the fruit, and connect. Is there a connection here? Well, Keith, you have to be careful what you hear on the internet and on the radio. Don't listen to us either. And unless we're giving you book, chapter, and verse, do not listen to us, because faith, the faith that will save, comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so what we must do is listen to God's word. And so the tree there was a literal tree. It says there were two miraculous trees in the garden. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of the tree of life. That's what enabled them to not grow old. And thus, that's why God kicked them out of the garden, lest they continue eating of that tree and never getting old. And so that you read chapter 2 and 3 of Genesis, you'll see that discussion in those passages. So it was a literal tree, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Someone might ask, well, why did God put it there to begin with? Well, to give man a choice. That was the only thou shalt not. That was the only lie. I mean, the only law that they were supposed to follow. And thus the one that was the cunning man, he lied and got them to believe that it was okay to eat of that tree. And there's where our troubles began. And so to this day, everybody has sinned since then. And thus we deserve death, just like they deserve death. Remember, Genesis 2:17, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Now that word death, Keith, means separation from God. Isaiah explains it this way, by your iniquities, by our sins, God turns away from us, and he will not hear us. That's Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. And so it is by our sin that God has to turn away from us, and thus there's no way for us to reconnect with him except in Jesus Christ. One more verse, Romans 6 and verse 23, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we must be in Christ Jesus if we are to reconnect with God and to be in his good grace, in his mercy that he extends to us. Interesting, Keith, you might not know this. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But we can choose to go there if we want to. All we have to do is nothing. Nothing at all, because we've sinned, and once we've broken our relationship with God, that is our eternal home. Now, if we can get into Jesus Christ, well, then we can have a hope of being able to live with him in the home that he has prepared for us. Now, read all of Romans chapter 6 if you want to see how to get into Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1, and you will see that the step that puts us into Christ is the step that most churches today never tell you about. Romans 6, verses 3, all the way through the end of the chapter. Keith, hope that's been helpful to you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your call. Again, we are so appreciative that you've joined us today. The numbers are 308-9564. That's the voice line. And the text line, if you want to text us, your question is 725-9283.
We have a text caller, last three digits, 609, says, when we get to heaven, will we recognize each other? And I'll just offer some principal scriptures that may aid in that. What is clear is that after death, that people have been recognized. And so I think that does give us some idea about what will happen in heaven. Now, that just because a person dies, it doesn't mean that they're no longer going to be recognizable. And so we see in Luke, the 16th chapter, there's a story about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man dies, and the Lazarus, who was a beggar, he dies. And the beggar, he goes into Abraham's bosom, what the Bible calls it, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. And then the rich man, he goes into torment. And the Bible says in verse 24, then he cried, that is to say the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And so here you have this rich man who had, you know, Abraham had died many, many years prior. And yet he was able to recognize Abraham even in death. And so that gives us some idea that even after death, that we will be able to recognize each other. And another potential passage to consider is when Jesus was transfigured in Matthew, the 17th chapter. In Matthew, the 17th chapter, Jesus took Peter, James, and John on a mount. And Jesus was transfigured before them. Transfigured just means he was changed. And and there were two individuals that appeared to them. In verse 3, the Bible says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So, you know, even Peter recognized Moses and Elijah. So although he had never seemingly seen them, because they would have died many years prior. And so at least from a matter of principle from the scriptures, we will be able to recognize one another even after death. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9264.
Sends, turns, gives to her husband.
priest takes each sins, and thus they have brought sin into the world. But he's described as a serpent there. The canvas now, was he literally a serpent? Cursings as God was dealing with each individual, he says in verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast in the field. In your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. So that sure looks like it was a literary serpent in which he was appearing in. Now he's also called a dragon. He's also called the god of this world. There are many other descriptions of the evil one. But let me ask you, there may be a bigger discussion here in reference to our approach to God's word to begin with.
Now, first of all, I hopefully you have internet capabilities. And if you will go to our website at BibleAlone.org and then click on the Bible Materials button, you'll find a whole list of downloadable material. And the very first one on the list is Scientific Evidences of the Bible's Inspiration. And take that, download it, and print it out and read some of those evidences. Now, what do I mean by evidence? Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God does not want us to have blind faith. He's wanting us to have faith that's built on substantial evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so he's given us plenty of evidence to know that when we read the Word of God, that it is in fact, without a doubt, God's Word. And here are some evidences on that list if you download that, and everyone is welcome to that. Just help yourselves to all those materials. Let me just bring out one in Job chapter 26 and verse 7. It says, he stretches out the north over empty space. That's verse 7, Job 26. This is the oldest book in the Bible. Stretches out the north over. Take a telescope tonight. If the skies are clear, look south, east, and west, and you will see stars everywhere you look. But when you turn that telescope to the north, if you've got a real good telescope, you will find there's something different in the north. There's empty space to the north where there are no stars. You can't see that with your eye. You must have a telescope to discover that. Now, my friends, how did Job know there was empty space to the north without a telescope? The only conclusion we can come to is God told him. Now, I've only read half the verse. The second part of the verse says, he hangs the earth on nothing. Now, if you were looking at the earth from the moon, what would be holding up the earth to keep it from falling? Well, there's not a cable, is there? And it's not sitting on somebody's back named Atlas. So what's holding it up? Nothing. How did Job know that? Especially when everybody knew it was sitting on the back of elephants. Well, they disbanded that. Then everybody knew it was sitting on the back of Atlas. Well, they got over that too. Man keeps up coming with all kind of ideas about that. But you see, God's word said it to begin with and has never been contradicted. The earth is, in fact, sitting on nothing. How did he know that? Well, there's an evidence to prove that this book, when we read it, that's an evidence to show that this book must have come from God. So I would encourage you to, rather than going through the Bible and finding the far-fetched things that may sound, you know, beyond understanding, go find the things that will be helpful, helping you to get to heaven. And you will find your life being changed because we will start becoming what our Creator intended for us to be. You go buy a product. You get out the instructions to put it together. And then if you follow the instructions, most of the time it'll come together, right? That is true with us as well. The most complicated thing in this world. Oh, yeah, our body's put together already. But how to behave, how to believe, how to conduct ourselves, he's left that up to us to read the instruction book. And when we do and follow it, oh, life is just so blessed. Do I hear some amens coming from the radio world? So let's just let God speak through his word. Let's let the Bible speak. Thank you. Thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. I hope that's been helpful to you. Again, that was Job chapter 26 and verse 7 was the last passage. Nick?
Yes, we have another text call. The last three digits is 609. And I think it's sort of a follow-up question to the one that talked about in heaven we'll be able to recognize each other. The question says, how about those who are sick and limbs are missing? Does the Bible talk about restoring them back to normal? Well, when the Bible talks about what we shall be and, you know, after this life, the Bible lets us know one thing for sure. We don't know what we're going to look like. And 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, talking about Jesus. And so we don't know what we're going to look like. We know we're going to be like him. But now there's something else that's a little more comforting as we try to talk about this idea about limbs being restored. In the first letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 51 through 53, notice what is said here. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The idea once we die, we're just going to stay dead. That's what he means. He says, we're not going to all just stay dead, but we shall all be changed. And so we know that we're going to change. So this physical body is going to change. Verse 52, in a moment, he says, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, he says. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, that is our flesh and blood, this mortal must put on immortality. There's a passage that comes to mind that says something like flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God, it's not flesh and blood. We will change. We will be changed, and we will put on a different body, not a mortal body, but one that is immortal. We will be different. Now, it has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know one thing, that when he appears, that is to say, when Christ appears, we will be like him. I hope that's been helpful. Join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564. Or you can go ahead and text us at 725-9283.
We are glad that you are taking out time to join us today, and we hope and pray that you are taking notes and writing these things down and getting the answers that you are looking for from God's Word. Maybe some of the answers you're getting are not the ones you were looking for as well. And so if that's the case, we don't apologize, because all we're doing is just sharing with you book, chapter, and verse. And hopefully it is going to be a blessing if we will all listen to what God says. Sometimes it is hard to swallow what God says, and we certainly understand that. And it's something that's so basic as turn the other cheek or love your enemy. That is hard to swallow sometimes. Nevertheless, God said it. I believe it. I'm going to do it. How about you? We have a caller, Sam, calling in this question. He wants to know 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. He wants us to explain that. Sam, thank you so much for your desire to know God's word, and we hope and pray that it is being a blessing to you and your desire to know it. You're to be commended. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 4, he says, "For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and we will reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will be or will come from God." And so it's talking about how that we tend to figure things out and know, try to figure out what's right and wrong. And the whole intent of this radio program is actually to do that. And what we should be concerned with is what God says, not necessarily the counsels in our heart, but rather let our praise come from him. And the only way that he will praise us is if we're doing what he says. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he also says, "Why call me Lord if you do not do what I say?" And so if we want praise from him, then what we must do is do what he says. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not crossed, have I not in thy name, let's see, I've just messed up. Have I not, verse 22, not many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonders? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And so what we should do is seek after the praise of God by doing what he says, so that we might be able to be found in him when we stand before him in judgment day one day. And thus, the attitudes, the intents of our heart will be exposed. Well, it's best to let God's word now expose them so that we can correct anything that is not light, not what God wants. So hopefully that has been helpful to you, Sam. Thanks for listening and thanks for calling. Again, it's time for our last break. We want you to know that we have been honored to be able to be with you today. This is your last chance, last segment to be able to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. There is an operator standing by. We are glad to be able to send this to you free of charge, so don't miss out on this opportunity to get this correspondence course to you in the mail this week. Go ahead, if you're already in the course, and call in your question right now to 308-9564. We'll be right back.